Larry Herbeck's Box Lives. Major Nelson here with you. This is show number 245, recording this September 30th, 2007. September's, well, it's pretty much over. October 1st hits this week. This is kind of an old school show. I don't have E with me, who is one of my frequent co-hosts, sidekicks, whatever you want to call him. He's not here. I got back from the Halo launch, which I'll talk about in just a minute. I got back from the Halo launch this week. I think I got back on Wednesday, or maybe I was in the office on Thursday. And I said, hey, do you want to record a show this week? He says, I can. I'm going to Oregon. So he promptly went down to Oregon. As you know, he talks frequently about it. He's an alumni. And he, because he has football tickets, and he promptly saw them lost to California 24-31. So, E, you probably should have stayed and done the show. So that leaves me to do the show by myself this week. And which is fine. I've done it for hundreds of shows already, so it's not a big deal. I think the big news we should kick right into is the Halo 3 launch. Was in New York Monday. Boy, it seems so long ago, but it was just less than a week ago that I did this. It was Monday. Spent all day Monday on site at the Best Buy on, 44th and 5th Avenue. Long day, very long day. I'll tell you some behind-the-scenes stories in just a minute. Long day, right up until midnight. It was just phenomenal just to see. I mean, we probably had 500, 600, 700 people there who were, A, to watch the spectacle, or B, there to actually, purchase the game. So that was great. Of course, the press release went out a couple days later after they counted up their first day sales. It was $170 million. $170 million. I mean, that's pretty big money. Let me just see if I can pull it up here. It registers the biggest day in U.S. history. Let's see. Estimated $170 million in sales in one day. Wow. In the first 24 hours. So obviously we'll see how that does over the next week. The other thing I noticed was, which will be very interesting, and I was talking to some folks around the office about this, was I was seeing a lot of folks at Best Buy walking out of there with hardware. So we'll have to see if that... what happens with the hardware numbers next month. So it's going to be a big month. I played Halo 3. I came home. Most of you had actually finished this, and I talked about this frequently on the show. Most of you had actually finished this by the time I started the campaign. I came home. Came home Thursday. Started playing it on Thursday? Maybe no, it was Wednesday night. Came home Wednesday. Played it Wednesday. Wednesday night, went through it Thursday, finally finished it Friday night, I believe is when it was. And I was getting inundated with invites to the multiplayer, and I wasn't going to play the multiplayer until I finished the single player. I kind of wanted to go through it, experience it, feel what it was like, and so forth. So I'm not going to give away any spoilers. That's not my style. There's enough people out there who want to do that on the internet. So you can go, if you really want to know what's going on, I'm sure you could probably find out what happens in the story. Fun story, fun game, and that's really all I can say about it, because, like I said, I don't want to do any spoilers. But the Halo 3 launch at Best Buy in New York was really spectacular. I want to talk about that for a minute. It was just a great day. I got out there probably about 8 o'clock in the morning is when our call time was. I'd have to be there at 8. The line was probably 5 or 6 people deep. Everyone was like, wow, where is everybody? I said, they'll be here. It's New York. They'll show up. So sure enough, by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, the line was just growing, literally every moment the line was increasing in size. Got there. Got there at 8 o'clock in the morning, basically worked all day. I mean, literally all day from 8:30 in the morning until probably 12:30 in the morning the next day. So it was pretty extraordinary. 16 hours, roughly 16 hours is what I was working. And it was on stage. For those of you that were in New York, you saw me. It was on stage. It was trying to talk to the crowd, having fun. Really about having fun. I mean, you're with Halo, you're with the Bungie guys. I was with Harold Ryan. Those of you guys probably don't know this, but Harold Ryan was on stage there. He's the guy that's in charge of Bungie. So he was there. We had Aaron LeMay, who's one of the graphic designers. He was there. He worked on some of the user interface, the UI pieces. And of course, Frankie was there answering questions, left and right. He was inundated with questions. So it was great to see those guys. And they were just hanging out. And I mean, that was their job. They had shipped their product. They were now in New York to kind of have fun. So we brought some folks up on stage and play. Now, what was interesting is because of this is an M-rated game. We could not, when we were playing it, if you remember correctly, and I said this a couple times in the PA, I don't know if anybody heard me though. We were set up in the corner of the store, and if you look at some of the photos, you'll see them. We were set up in the corner of the store, and because of the fact this was an M-rated title, we could not, when we were playing the game, turn the monitors around, so we couldn't feed anything we were playing out into the street, because it was an M-rated game. You had to actually come in to see some of that. So that's why, if you were standing in line, if you're trying to figure out why you couldn't see what was going on, it's because it's an M-rated game. Simple as that. So the other funny thing another funny thing had happened when I was there. We're in the morning. It's probably like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're going through, and one of the events guys comes up to me with this box. I don't know. It's not a shoebox. It's probably a little bit larger than a shoebox. He says, "Hey, I got this. What do you want to do with it?" I'm like, "I don't know what that is. What is it?" So he hands it to me. I open it up, and inside are probably about 5 or 6, probably about a half a dozen of the little figurines that were in that diorama, you know, the commercial that you've seen, the Halo 3 commercial with the old man and the big diorama of the battle. It was they were really kind of cool, because each one of them was obviously, you know, hand painted, and so we gave some of those away to some of the people in line. And I actually had one for the guys from Joystick, because the guys from Joystick asked me if I had anything to give away, and the guys from Joystick never came down. So that's the way it goes. Conrad, I'm looking at you. You should have come down. I would have given you them. So didn't see you, but we ended up giving them all away. There's a photo of me up on Facebook, of me looking at them, and they're just the coolest things to have a part of history. I guess I haven't seen this yet, but I guess when I got back to Microsoft, we have a company store for store employees only, not open to the public. And I guess we have part of the diorama set up in the company store, which to me is kind of cool. So I'm sure there's a piece of it at Bungie, and a piece of it here, and a piece of it there. So I'm trying to get some of those little guys to give away on my show, but the events guys haven't come up with, haven't found any more yet. So if I come up with any, I'll definitely, I don't know if you guys are interested in getting a piece of the diorama, but I certainly thought it was interesting. So we're doing the event all day long, and then around 7 or 8 o'clock, Adam Sessler and Morgan show up, and Jeff Keighley shows up. So we're all crammed in. I mean, literally, we're all within like 10 feet trying to do shows. And I had to do G4 that night, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. And Adam Sessler at the end of the night, it was probably like 11. I didn't talk to Morgan that much, because she wasn't feeling particularly chatty, I believe. And I was talking with Adam. He's like, "Oh, I'm, you know, so tired of doing live TV in 4 hours." And I looked at him like, 4 hours is nothing. I've been out here for, at that point, probably 12 or 14 hours. And I don't have a teleprompter. I don't have a script. I mean, I was just trying to do the best I can. So it's tough, but I did it. So Adam, would have happily trade places with you. What was I going to talk about? I totally, you know, now that I don't have E to bounce things off here, I just feel like I'm rambling, and I am rambling. Wow, what was I going to talk about? Don't remember. So anyway, Halo 3 New York City was a blast. I believe I'm coming back to New York City again. It's in the end of October. I'm not sure what the event is, but I've been told to hold my calendar. That's what happens, is the events team come over and says, "Hey, I need you to hold your calendar for this date. We'll give you more details." And that's all I know. So I will definitely hold my calendar towards the end of October, let you guys know when I'm going to be in. Maybe we can do another get together. Didn't do a get together for this one, because frankly, the last thing you guys wanted to do when you got your hands on a copy of Halo 3 was to go someplace and hang out with me and some members of the community team. So figure we bypass that, since you wanted to get home, and rightfully so. It was a good week for Halo 3. I'm working on getting some Halo 3 interviews. Of course, the guys were just completely exhausted and jammed and exhausted this week. But I believe I'm going to have some time with Marty O'Donnell next week. He and I have been going back and forth on email, and we're trying to nail that down. So I'll try to get Marty O'Donnell on next week, now that I've kind of experienced all the music. And he's always great to talk to. As you guys know, I love talking to audio people, because I think they're, you know, they really contribute a hell of a lot of stuff to a game that maybe sometimes doesn't go noticed as much as, you know, pixel count or you know, all the shaders and the graphics and whatnot. So I'll hopefully have Marty on next week. Let's see. So PGR4 is coming out this week, which reminds me, there was some news this week about Activision purchasing Bazaar. It doesn't affect the PGR4 franchise. PGR4 will be out this week. What are some of the downloadable content that we've had over the past week? Because it certainly has been busy. We had an NHL 2K8 demo, Clive Barker's Jericho demo, Clash of the Titans demo, We have Pro Evo Soccer, and no, I guess that was last week. So we got some good demos, lots of stuff going up on Marketplace as usual. We finished up the TGS Bring It Home campaign last week, and now it's some more of that content is up there. You know, I'm trying to post as much of the Marketplace content as I can, but like I say, it's really overtaken the blog, and it's a little challenging. So that's why I've gone to the Marketplace roundups for each day. You know, I'll always continue to post the demos and the pieces of content that I think are interesting and unique that deserve their own post. But generally speaking, I'm just going to do a Marketplace roundup towards the end of the day. So hopefully you guys are enjoying that. Feel free to go up and check that out. Also, speaking of the blog, hopefully you've checked out beta.majornelson.com. which is a site that Lithion, who works on the blog, has been working on, and it's coming along quite well. We've redone the graphics a little bit. We've really just moved things around, and it's definitely a different look. It's wider. It's kind of rounder. This is still a work in progress. Yeah, I know the banner at the top needs to be larger. We know that. But for the most part, that's kind of what we're doing. I talked about it last week. Gave you some. You know, you guys have given me some feedback, which is really good. And we're going to take some of that feedback into account. So that's the blog update. Do I know what's going on this week? I don't know what's going on this week. I know that there was a couple of blips in live. Obviously, when Halo launched, we had a ton of people coming on. We were ready for it. There were a couple things here and there, and I'll have you talk about those next week. But we were ready. We had a couple little issues here and there, but nothing that was kind of like the weather. So I should probably just do the live weather report. You know, the weather report was partly cloudy this week. Otherwise, it was sunny. I think that's the way to look at it. So that's the live weather report for this week in terms of reliability and uptime, et cetera. Thanks for all the photos and the maps and the videos that you guys are sending me in Halo 3. Great stuff. Really, really good stuff. Glad to see what those guys are doing, what the bunch of you guys are doing with some of our APIs. They're just doing phenomenal work. Let's see what else. So I'm looking for some good game variants. We downloaded the Bungie favorite, which is one we played in the Epsilon, which was the race one, and it's just a blast. You know, where you're basically it's VIP and you're on a mongoose and you're racing around. We had an absolute blast with that map and with that mode. So I highly recommend downloading that. But I'm looking for good game variants. So send me what you got. All right, I got a couple of interviews this week, a couple of quickies, actually. One of them is with Brian Morrison, who worked on a Spider-Man Friend or Foe from Activision. I also have Chris Earhart, who is the VP of Production Design for DigiPen. And for those of you that don't know about DigiPen, well, you should. DigiPen is a local local school here in Seattle. They basically teach how to get in the video game industry. So I should do that. But first, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and roll the interview that I have with where are my notes? I just forgot his name. Here we are. Ah, Brian Morrison. So Brian Morrison, Spider-Man Friend or Foe, which ships this week from Activision. All right, on the line with me today is Brian Morrison, who's the production coordinator for Spider-Man Friend or Foe, which is coming out this Tuesday. Brian, thanks for joining me.
Hey, great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about this game. It's coming out on the Xbox 360. It's also coming out on the Wii, the PS2, the PSP, the Nintendo DS, and the PC. So you got all the major platforms covered.
Yeah. Friend or Foe is a Spider-Man title. Activision's taken a new direction. We created a co-op game that's really centers on co-op gameplay, collection, as well as combat.
Okay, so when you say it's focused on the co-op play, what can we expect in the co-op play?
Well, there's over a dozen different playable characters. There's villains as well as heroes that you can team up along Spider-Man and play with throughout an adventure.
So is it always where like the first person is Spider-Man and then the second person joins the co-op as one of the characters they select, or can they play as different characters?
Well, you can play any of the different characters that you select as long as they become part of your roster. Spider-Man's always player one, unless you go into a versus mode where you can select whatever character you want and then go into a combat arena.
Now, I was looking at some of the information on this, and it looks like the co-op mode is pretty unique because you can just be playing along, and when your friend walks into your house, you can just kind of jump them right into the action. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah. No, that's definitely the case. One of the nicest things about it is like just as you pointed out, you can drop in and drop out. And then player one can switch between, you know, either character they decide to control. But it's no, it's definitely a fun feature.
Now, I just want to be clear for those people that listen to this. This is co-op over one box. You can't play over live or anything on this, but it's just on
exactly.
One box. Tell me about some of the design decisions and what it was like developing for Spider-Man. You know, clearly it's got a rich heritage and a rich history. What was that like in presenting you with some design challenges?
Well, I think from a co-op standpoint, the locomotion system that you have to implement becomes a challenge because if you're playing a co-op character alongside Spider-Man, it becomes you know, something that we want to focus around the combat system mm-hmm. in a co-op game. And with Spider-Man having free range to go everywhere, we wanted to make the gameplay style fun for the sidekick as well as for Spider-Man.
Now, what do you mean when you say locomotion system? Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, I mean, I just mean on your adventure throughout different levels.
Got it.
Like, you don't want Spider-Man to take off miles ahead of the different players that are playing alongside of him. So in our designs, that was one of the things we wanted to make every single sidekick a unique experience. So playing with Rhino or playing with Blade or playing with Doc Ock all felt rich and unique. So that every single time you unlock a new character to play along Spider-Man, it felt fun.
Now, is this a split screen scenario or is it everybody's playing on one screen? How does that work?
Yeah, everyone's playing on one screen, and then you can like automatically on the fly switch between characters.
Oh, that's great. So you can just kind of go through, and I assume obviously all the characters have different strengths and powers that you need to do to progress through the story.
Exactly.
It's really an interesting game. How is it developing? I always like to talk to people who have developed games for multiple platforms. How do you take a game like the Spider-Man, which can be very rich on something like the Xbox 360 or PC, and how do you like shrink it down to work on the Nintendo DS or the PSP? That must be quite a challenge.
Well, one of the things that's great is the style of the game and the art style that we've chosen, and it really translates across all platforms really nicely. In putting together we have kind of a hybrid style that looks realistic at moments but still has the flavor of a comic book. And we have classic characters as well as movie-inspired characters. And in making a game across all platforms, that art style actually, you know, works in our favor.
Oh, interesting. So you've deliberately chosen a specific art style which will help you kind of migrate into one of these different platforms easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think we really fell in love with the art style first and foremost, and that decision actually has worked out to be good for us.
Is it tough, you know, developing a game and then being able to try to basically expect that at any moment a second player could jump in? I mean, you talked about that as being one of the key features, but that also must be challenging in a development standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, Next Level has done an incredible job at making the combat, you know, fun and over the top. It's easy to pick up and play, but there's also a deep combat system. There's lots of combos. There's lots of web upgrades and web modifiers that you can take on with Spider-Man. And in making the game drop in and drop out, it makes going through the story mode more fun.
Now, I want to talk to you. One of the key cornerstones of the Xbox 360 version is achievements. So tell me about some of the cool achievements we can see in Spider-Man Friend or Foe.
Yeah, the achievements in Friend or Foe, there's a variety of achievements given for combat. And then, as I had mentioned, one of the big parts of the game is collection. So throughout every single level, the characters create tech tokens, DNA helixes, and these all help modify the sidekicks as well as Spider-Man. So it's fun for players to go unlock all the secret levels as well as all the and then unlock the achievements based on those.
How many levels are there?
There's five different worlds. Each world is broken up into four different areas, and then there's sub-levels of those.
So that's pretty straightforward. Well, that's great. Well, listen, Brian, I appreciate you coming on the line with me and talking about Spider-Man Friend or Foe. It's in stores this week, so good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck on the launch, and thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Spider-Man Friend or Foe in stores this week, so go ahead and check that out. Pick it up for, the Xbox 360 or any one of those other major platforms that I mentioned there. Okay, so what else do I have this week? It's tough. As I said, I've had E as the co-host. I think we talked about it was a co-host, and I don't know if he wanted that moniker because that would assume that when I wasn't here, he would not do the show. And let me be clear, he's not going to do the show by himself. He comes in, he sits down, I hand him a microphone and press record. That's about extent of his show prep. So he's not going to be doing a show when I'm not available. So that's why I don't know whether I call him a co-host or what I do. So the next interview I have is with Chris Earhart, who's from DigiPen. Now, DigiPen's a great organization that we're going to talk about a little bit. He's going to talk about what's going on at the World Cyber Games, which is this coming weekend in Seattle, and I wanted to talk about that for a minute before I roll the interview. Of course, I was down in Orlando last month, that fated trip to Orlando. You know, I want to stop down for a second. Since when did losing a passport become internet news? I've had more people come up to me. In New York City, people came up to me. It was the craziest thing. It was absolutely the craziest thing. Probably the most uncomfortable moment I had was probably at the health club. We have a health club here in that I belong to and I go to and try to work out because you need to do that. And I was on my way to the shower, basically, you know, no clothes on because that's the way you go to the shower. And this guy stops me and he says, "Hey, Major, did you find your passport yet?" You know, that's not the conversation I want to have when I don't have any clothes on. I really don't. Sorry about that. But my fated trip to Orlando, boy, did I just get on a total random path there. Sorry about that. So fated trip to Orlando is down there for the World Cyber Games, which was the U.S. Championship. Now, this is the international championships are in Seattle next week. Next week is when it's all happening. It's at the Quest Event Center, which is, for those of you that know Seattle, it's between Safeco and Quest Field. It's basically a big convention center. I'm not sure when I'll be down there. I don't know if I'm co-hosting it with Jeff Keighley, because frankly, the organization hasn't told me yet. But I will be down there for a day or two. Love to see you down there. Of course, Microsoft will have a big booth. And part of the booth is what we'll have is we've teamed up with the folks from DigiPen is they're going to have an educational symposium. So that's why I really wanted to get Chris on because he could talk a lot about that. So let's talk to Chris. Chris, thanks for hopping on the line with me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having the time take for it.
Now, you got some great stuff going on at the World Cyber Games, which are happening later this week in Seattle. But I want to talk to you a little bit about DigiPen before you tell me what you're doing there. For those people that are new or never heard of DigiPen, can you explain it for some folks?
Sure. DigiPen Institute of Technology is currently based in Redmond, Washington. And the school's been around for over 18 years. We've been in the United States since 96. We're a fully accredited United States university that offers a Bachelor's of Science in Real-Time Interactive Simulation, which is video game programming. We offer a Master's of Science in Computer Science. We also offer a Bachelor's of Science in Computer Engineering and a Bachelor's of Fine Arts degree. So we have several different colleges within the university, and basically what we do is we train people in the abilities to not only effectively develop and finish projects, but also program in several different languages and be able to, at the end of the day, leave with a degree and be functional members of our game development community.
So, you know, I get a lot of email from folks asking me, you know, what can they do to get into the industry? And I always like to say, well, you should always look at, first of all, your website is digipen.edu.
I'll
put a link to that on the blog. So, I mean, it's great that you guys are such a local resource, and you and I talked about this. I'm going to have you on a future show and just talk all about DigiPen so that people
Great.
Who are in the gaming industry can be aware of you, or people that want to get into the gaming industry are aware of you as a resource. But the reason I have you on the line right now is I want to talk about the Women in Gaming Symposium at the World Cyber
right.
Games, which is coming up. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, the educational track is something that we've worked out at the World Cyber Games. As you know, it's going to be a Quest Field, and it's running from the evening of the 4th through the 7th. In the East Hall of Quest Field on Friday the 5th and Saturday the 6th, what DigiPen is doing is we're hosting a series of educational tracks where we've got 33 of the local industry veterans from the over 50 companies that develop games around our Seattle area who are going to be doing tracks. We're doing tracks in production, in programming, art and audio, and in design. And they're going to be filling in people on what actually goes into it, what it takes, like you said, to become a part of this community, and some of the tips and tricks that go into it. And along with that, on Saturday, from 10 until 1, along with Gamer Chicks over at your side of the fence, Xbox Live,
yep.
We're going to be hosting a Women's in-game symposium in which we have 11 of the top women industry leaders from the game development community who are going to be coming in and are going to be sharing their insights over that three-hour period in three different panels and an open Q&A session about why this industry is so obviously a no-brainer for a woman that wants to get into a science-based job, because obviously you do need fairly strong math, computer science types of backgrounds, to be able to have a almost recession-proof ability to be employed once they graduate from college. And there's a lot of pluses about game development with regards to the fact that we tend to be less gender-centric than some people would think with regards to, you know, we don't really care. It's what's upside inside your head. It doesn't matter what anything else does. So they're going to be sharing that with people, and they're going to be available for questions and answers with regards to how they did it, what they did to get where they were, and a lot of things about why this is really significantly an interesting industry for people to do. So that's going to be part of the 2 days that's going on at the educational track.
I think it's also important to point out, and I'm looking at the press release that you guys sent out, it's also important to point out that you're not charging for any of these tracks, these educational tracks. These are free, correct?
Absolutely. What DigiPen wanted to do is we wanted to make this open to as many people as possible. So Cindy Ball from Global Wonder, Kristen and I discussed it, and what we did was we've made the whole educational track. The owner of DigiPen, Claude Comer, decided to make the whole educational track on Friday and Saturday totally and completely free to anybody who's at the show, because we want to get the message out to people that not only can games assist in education with regards to the ability to retain the sciences, but also at the same time, the entire industry shouldn't be tainted by just a few unique individual sound bites or press releases that people see. I mean, you know this because you and I, we're in the trenches all the time.
Sure.
But a lot of time consumers or parents really are getting biased perspectives. So we wanted to make sure that they were given a chance to get honest, constructive feedback from a whole bunch of sources. We're going to have 20 student guides available each day, Friday and Saturday, who are going to be floating through the show, who are going to be not only offering assistance to the over 27 countries people there. We're going to have many multiple. We have a lot of languages in our students at DigiPen. They're volunteering their time, but they're also going to be there if people want honest feedback from an actual student who's going there. So we're going to have as many options as possible available for people. Yes, absolutely. It's totally free of charge, thanks to what our owner decided to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a great resource. And as you talked about earlier, you guys are here in Redmond, Washington. You're literally, you know, a mile and a half away from my office. And I definitely want to offer you the option sometime in the future when, you know, when we're all done working this out. I want to talk to you more about DigiPen, because I think it's a resource that a lot of people may not be aware of. And I think it's really fascinating. You guys really have a huge value to add to the community, because it's a great on-ramp to the gaming and electronic entertainment industry.
We'd really love to do that. I mean, we've really appreciated the chances we've had with Microsoft to be able to do like the podcast and other opportunities to show how education and how games can assist in the math and sciences to really, really retain the information and give you a job when you leave that's actually really good for you.
Now, I know, Chris, you got to run in just a minute, but I have to ask you, what's your gamer tag?
Sir Earhart.
Sir Earhart?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put that up there, so some folks may email you right now, and you know, they may message you over Xbox Live and talk to you, so you're going to probably get a couple of messages.
No problem at all. Just please, no Halo 3 until after the show.
There you go. All right. Chris Earhart, who's the VP for production at DigiPen here in Redmond, Washington. You know, you guys are doing this great symposium and educational tracks at the World Cyber Games this weekend, this coming weekend in Seattle. I appreciate your time, and we're definitely going to have you on again.
Thanks a lot. We'll look forward to seeing you at the show.
All right, so maybe we'll see you down at the World Cyber Games. Maybe you can sit in on some of those educational tracks if you're interested about it. And I'll definitely get Chris on in the future, because that is something I've been meaning to do for a long time, is to talk to the folks at DigiPen. And now I have an introduction with Chris, and I'll be happy to do that. So we'll see you at the World Cyber Games this weekend. Don't know what I'm doing. Hopefully I'll have something to do down there, or I may just be walking around on the floor by yourself. Maybe the World Cyber Games guys will tell me what's going on. All right, well, we're going to keep going with the show here, and let me pull up my notes. Here we go. All right, so we're gonna move forward, or kind of getting into the final phase of the show. This is a rather short show today for a couple of reasons. I found that that when I have E here, it's easier just to kind of riff and go sideways and talk about a bunch of different things. And gotta be honest with you, I'm pretty exhausted this week after the traveling and that whole thing. So I wanted to do a show because I said I would do a show, even though there was a bonus last week with the one I did when I wasn't in Tokyo. But we're gonna swing right into Name the Game this time. So Name the Game. Here's the Name the Game for last week. Actually, it wasn't last week. It was more like the last show when I did one, which was, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks ago. So that was the last one, and we have a winner. That was Cyberball 2072. And let me take a look at all the correct entries that I received at major@xbox.com. I'm going to pull out, and his gamer tag is Chai Sox Keith. Chai Sox Keith, probably from Illinois, from the Chicago area. Chai Sox Keith, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a, what did you get? You got yourself a Turtle Beach headset. Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset, to be more specific. And that clears the way for another Name the Game. So this one's probably a little bit harder. All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email. major@xbox.com is the email address. major@xbox.com. Please include your gamer tag and optionally where you're from. I'd like to map where my listeners are from. I'll take all the correct answers received, throw them into a big virtual hat, and pull out a winner. It's as simple as that. That's the way it goes. All right, when he's here, I usually do Xbox 101. That's what I have him do. That's his only thing he has to do. And frankly, he always asks me what he should do. So I'm going to deliver it this time, and let's see what I have here for Xbox 101. First, before we go Xbox 101, I got to bring Funky in.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me what it means when I'm bringing Funky, and Funky Boss is his gamertag. He's the guy that wrote that piece, so that's kind of what that's all about. So that's what we say when we roll Funky in. Okay, so Xbox 101 this week is courtesy of, it's actually an email that I got in. His gamertag is Suspend, and he writes, he says, he wrote a couple things here, but he says, if I go to a friend's house who has a 360 console, how do I recover my profile on his console? Do I buy a memory card and somehow transfer a copy of my gamer profile to the card? What's the recommended way of doing this? Well, it's the recommended way of doing it depends on what you're trying to do and what your scenario is. What I do, because I have an Xbox 360 at home, I have it obviously a couple at work, I keep Major Nelson on a 512MU, and I constantly keep that with me. And when I travel the world, when I'm saving games, I always save out to the MU. So that's, of course, I ran into a little bit of problem with BioShock, because BioShock was like 14 megs a save, wasn't it? And all of a sudden I was like, wow, where's all my memory going? So that's the way I do it. But what you can do is you can actually recover the account, which is pretty straightforward. What you really need to do is you just need to go into, once you sign into Xbox Live, you need to go to the, if you signed in at a friend's house, you got to sign out, go to Xbox Live section of the dashboard, go to, you got to recover gamer tag from Xbox Live, press A, and it'll follow you along. Basically, what you need is you need your Windows Live ID and your password, and it will actually recover down. Now, depending upon how many games you've played, in other words, when you go to Xbox.com and you look at your profile, how many games that you have up there, you know, how many games you've popped in your and played under that profile, that's how long it's going to take to come down. For instance, when I recover Major Nelson, which I don't do frequently, I've done it two or three times. It probably takes about 15 or 20 minutes for it to download, because it's downloading all the data about all the games played and so on and so forth. So that's kind of what that's all about. So you certainly can do that. You can certainly recover the account each time, but it's going to be time consuming, and then you got to make sure you delete it, and it gets kind of crazy. The other way is just to get yourself a 64 meg or a 512 meg MU and use that. So that's the deal with recovering accounts. It's pretty straightforward. But you know, I hate to tell people to go out and download and get an MU if they don't need it, but if they're traveling a lot, it's probably good to keep your account on an MU. Now, what you can do, which you could not do in the original Xbox 360, or excuse me, the original Xbox, is you can have multiple profiles on one MU. So I've got Major Nelson on there. I've got a couple of my private accounts on there. So that's something you should keep in mind as well. The other option is, if you want to play, is just to sign up for an account, maybe a silver account that you don't really play games under, and then you can just always recover that at your friend's house pretty quick, lickety split. So you go. That's the Xbox 101 for this week. Thank you very much, Suspend. This is Gamertag for sending that in. Now, if you have a Xbox 101 that you think is pretty good, send it to me, major@xbox.com. Obviously, put Xbox 101 up there in the header. I do read all the emails I get at my major@xbox.com account, but I got to tell you, I'm getting between 500 and 1,000 a day. I've talked about that before. So anybody who has any questions or problems, and if you send any URLs, it will be ignored because it basically gets flagged and thrown into my into the spam folder, so I don't even see it. So don't send me any forum links to URLs and so forth, because I just don't do it. So make sure you just copy and paste or put everything in the original email, and then I'll be able to read it. So all right, so this is the section I usually do gadgets in, but I have no gadgets. I'm completely gadgetless right now. I haven't found the new hotness. I will tell you this though. I'm recording this show with something, and if you're interested in doing podcasts out there, I'm going to give you a little hint. I have this, it's the Alesis IO2. The Alesis IO2, which is a USB, it's an external USB sound card, basically. I cannot recommend this product. It's a sound card that I bought, and I say sound card even though it's, like I say, it's external. But if you remember a few weeks ago, or maybe over the past month and a half or so, where I've been having weird audio issues with some of my Skype interviews, where my mic was overmodulated, well, I tracked it down to the Alesis. It wasn't playing well with my Mac. It was as simple as that. And then I'm recording this in Windows, and it's just not good. I'm getting really a lot in Sony Vegas. I'm getting a lot of just crazy noise and whatnot. So if you're looking at the Alesis IO2, I would not recommend it because I'm not particularly happy with it. I found the mobile pre USB a little bit better. So that's my tip. That's my gadget tip. Gotta give it up where I can. The other thing is I'm looking for a good, I talked about this before. I'm looking for a good IP camera, a good, network camera. So if you have any suggestions, there's the Axis one, which is just ridiculously expensive, but I'm looking for a fairly good, not cheap, but, inexpensive, network camera. So if you got any suggestions, send them my way. I'm gonna probably go ahead and wrap up the show here. This has been a hell of a, 36, 37 minutes. It's pretty different when I'm doing the show by myself. Which I've done before, which I'm not opposed to. I'm looking forward to getting online. I know that I've talked about E and I doing some co-op, in H3. We're definitely gonna be doing that when he's back from Oregon, and when he's probably inconsolable right now after that loss. But once he's back and feeling better, then I'm definitely, he and I are going to go online and we'll pick up some folks to play from. I get inundated all day long with invites, and unfortunately I can't respond to some of them because sometimes I'm playing a game with H3. And sometimes I'm playing other games as well, like Spider-Man Friend or Foe, which is out this week. Don't have a list of what's coming out this week in front of me. But we're getting into that season. Mass Effect coming. God, I can't wait for Mass Effect. I don't know about you. You know, it's tough because I was thinking about this on my way home from New York, is that gamers just have a voracious appetite, don't they? I mean, we, and I'm going to put me in that category, we just want more, 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 more. Halo 3, which took, 3 years to make? A lot of people are done with the campaign in just 2 or 3 days. I mean, think about that. It's unbelievable. So we just have a voracious appetite, and we want more. And fortunately, if you have an Xbox 360, you've got a ton of games coming down this holiday season. When is Katamari coming out? I thought that was coming out sometime soon. Just thought about that. I want to roll my stuff up. All right, I'm going to wrap it up right now. First of all, I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com and Beta.MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. Want to thank our my good friend Lithion, who is the brains behind the web operation. When Major Nelson is down, you can talk to Lithion about that. I also want to thank Cashfly for their services. They're responsible for you getting these podcasts and many more like it when you want it, where you want it. The good shows and the bad. Thanks to my friends at Cashfly for cashing my show. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading my show. Saying have fun, play fair, and remember, send feedback. Yes, it does matter. Or file a complaint, and I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Bye-bye. after show time. Yeah, it was a tough show doing it without E, since I've been getting used to having somebody to talk to. And, you know, maybe I should find a backup for my backup when E's not around, because apparently he's going down to a lot of Oregon games this season. So, although he did last season too, I guess. So maybe I should find a backup. You know, I should get Aaron from Bungie, because I've had him on the show before. I should get Aaron over here. We'll see. Yeah, this. Sorry about the Alesis. It's not. It's just not cutting it for me. I'm sorry, guys. It ain't happening. Let's see, what else should we talk about? I have no gadgets. I'm completely gadgetless. The passport situation just totally threw me sideways. You know, I need to get a new TV for my house, and it seems like E and I are always talking about new TVs. So I need to get a new TV for my house. I know I need to work on that. Boy, what a crazy day. I'm just really, it's just exhausted, been exhausted. I'm going to probably throw in a little H3 later, do that. Looking for some of the skulls, which is fun. KP, who works on the Xbox team and used to work over at Bungie, is going to hopefully team up with me and show me where some of the skulls are. The gold ones, not the silver ones. And then I was playing last night, Saturday night, we were playing online pretty late. We were playing in the hopper. We had Stryker with us, who works on the team. Basically, a lot of people from the Xbox team on. And Stryker was showing me the new armor that he had unlocked. And it's very, I don't know, it's very Italian opera-esque. That's the only way I could describe what I was looking at it. I've unlocked a couple pieces which make me look like a fly, I guess, is what people tell me. So I'm going to share some photos out if you want to go take a look at that on my file share. You know, you can go up to Bungie.net and you can actually download them from there. You can't download them to your PC. You can kind of like download them to your account so that when you log in, they're there. So I recommend trying that out. So there's a pretty good functionality that they've added in there. You guys want some of those little diorama miniature figures? I know that. I think they're pretty cool. I don't know. I guess I was pretty excited about them when I saw them in New York, and I thought that other people would be as well, but some people were like, meh, whatever. Oh boy. All right. Well, it's rainy here in Seattle. That's the Seattle weather report. And I'm going to wrap it up. I'll have E back next week. I promise. He has promised to return. He's send him a message. Tell him he shouldn't really bother going down to Oregon because you know, they're not doing well. Of course, I shouldn't really talk because Syracuse has completely taken it in the shorts this year. So I mean, after that first game against the University of Washington, I've pretty much all but given up. I hate to say that, but it was pretty depressing. We're already looking to basketball season. All right. I'm going to wrap it up. 43 minutes in. I think I've pretty much done as best I could by myself, kind of getting it in here, even though, you know, it's kind of gathering notes all week. It's going to be an interesting show next week for a couple of reasons. I'm moving my office, to a different office in a different building, the next building over. And, so I got to completely remove everything out of my office. I'm going to be just totally disheveled. And that's all in the middle of World Cyber Games. If you're coming out of World Cyber Games, I will see you there. Want to thank you all for downloading my show, as I said in the main part, and really, really great meeting all of you in New York. Everyone that came up to me was just phenomenal to me. And I really, you know, you probably saw me out working the line a little bit, and I really enjoyed walking up and down the line and talking to people because Xbox 360 really does have the greatest fans ever. So thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.